Sauron attempted to invade Lothlorien, Mirkwood, and the Lonely Mountain in The Lord of the Rings, but we hardly hear anything about it. So, what happened? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover The Lord of the Rings in nerdy detail, as well as other great fantasy worlds like A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. This is the latest in a series of videos breaking down the action of The War of the Ring. Last time, we looked at probably the largest battle in that war, the Battle of the Pelennor Fields. Tolkien focuses a lot on that battle for obvious reasons, but while that was happening, other battles were going on in other places in Middle-earth that we care about. In fact, there were at least 7 major battles that took place off-camera in Lothlorien, Mirkwood, the Lonely Mountain and Rohan that we hear almost nothing about. So let's right that wrong now and explain what happened. But first, the context. Sauron had been holding his forces back for a while, just one exploratory skirmish in Osgiliath, then focusing in on the Ring, sending out the Nazgul to lead the hunt. The outcome of that was that Sauron knew that the Ring was abroad, in Rivendell, and now the Wise would decide what to do with it. Then, on the 6th of March, 3019, Aragorn showed himself to Sauron through the Orthanc Stone. He convinced Sauron that he was coming for him, and Sauron assumed that he had the Ring. So Sauron, always wanting to be on the front foot, acted swiftly. 4 days later, on the 10th of March, which became known as the Dawnless Day, he launched his forces against Minas Tirith. He also, probably a bit earlier, sent out a force to take Cair Andros and push on into Rohan, and instructed his allies, the Corsairs of Umber, to harry and raid the coast of Gondor, so Minas Tirith's friends, fiefs and allies couldn't help in the defence of the city. Of course, Minas Tirith had more allies than just Rohan and its southern fiefs. Sauron needed to make sure that they didn't come south to help either. So the plan seems to have been to send armies there too. Not so much as to win new ground, but to keep everyone occupied. If Thranduil was focused on defending his kingdom, he couldn't send any elves south to aid Denethor, for example. Whether or not you think Thranduil or Dain or Galadriel or whoever would want to do that isn't the point. Sauron didn't want any elves or dwarves helping out in the south. Legolas and Gimli were enough. Thankfully for him, Sauron didn't need to march troops all the way up from Mordor to do that. He had a sizable garrison at Dol Guldur in southern Mirkwood and allies in Rûn. So he started with what he thought was probably his greatest potential foe, Lothlorien. Or Galadriel, to be more precise. He had been long aware of her, as Galadriel herself recognises when she talks to Frodo. "I say to you, Frodo, that even as I speak to you, I perceive the Dark Lord, and know his mind, or all of his mind that concerns the elves, and he gropes ever to see me and my thought. But still, the door is closed." Sauron gropes ever to see her, probably because he strongly suspects that she has one of the 3 rings of power that Celebrimbor forged alone in the Second Age. He still eagerly wanted those rings, and recognised that they were very powerful tools in the right hands. Indeed, Galadriel makes it clear to Frodo that it is through the power of her ring that she shields and protects her people in Lothlorien. Tolkien's famously soft magic system doesn't go into details about exactly how that works and how it interacts with elves fighting against attacking forces of evil, but in the appendices to The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien summarised it as, "Three times Lorien had been assailed from Dol Guldur, but besides the valour of the elven people of that land, the power that dwelt there was too great for any to overcome, unless Sauron had come there himself." So the attacks on Lothlorien were probably doomed to fail because of the power of Galadriel's ring, unless Sauron himself turned up. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. As I said earlier, this doesn't seem to have been an invasion attempt by Sauron so much as a tactic to keep the elves and dwarves out of the war in the south. The first attack came on the 11th of March. That's the day after the Dawnless Day, when the Witch King's army marched out of Mordor towards Minas Tirith. The main bulk of the attacking force each time came from Dol Guldur, though seemingly with some support from the Orcs of Moria. The trees around the edges of Lothlorien suffered much fire damage, but this first battle was a convincing win for the elves. Some Orcs, retreating from that battle, then reformed to head further south into eastern Rohan, the Wold. We don't know exact force sizes, but again, this doesn't seem to have been a serious invasion attempt, so much as an attempt to stop the Rohirrim from coming to Gondor's aid. They had just resisted one attack from Saruman, and now they had another incursion to worry about. Sure enough, word does reach the riders while they are already en route to Gondor. We read this. As they rode, rumour came of war in the north. Lone men riding wild brought word of foes assailing their east borders, of orc hosts marching in the Wold of Rohan. "Ride on, ride on," cried Éomer. "Too late now to turn aside. The fens of Entwash must guard our flank. Haste now we need. Ride on." This was a wise decision, as it turns out, though it must have seemed like a huge gamble at the time. How many orcs were there? How many Rohirrim lives would be lost while they rode to aid an ally? The day was saved, though, by Treebeard, with his Ents and Huons. He says later that, and I've edited this down quite a bit, as I'm rather more hasty in speech than Treebeard, "To be sure, the Ents have played their part. There was a great inrush of those vermin of orcs, and they came over the river and down from the north, and these same foul creatures were more than surprised to meet us out on the wold, for they had not heard of us before, though that might be said also of better folk. And not many will remember us, for not many escaped us alive, and the river had most of those. But it was well for you, for if they had not met us, then the king of the grassland would not have ridden far, and if he had, there would have been no home to return to." So the Ents defended Rohan again, unasked for. Many orcs were pushed into the rushing river, more were killed by the Ents, and some escaped, presumably back to Dol Guldur. Treebeard isn't one for bragging, so I think we can accept his account that, but for his intervention, Théoden's forces would have been waylaid, or much of Rohan laid waste in his absence. 2 days after that, the Battle of Dale began. You may remember that a couple of years earlier, Sauron had sent an emissary to Erebor seeking news of the One Ring. He left without any news, and leaving some thinly veiled threats. We don't often talk about the lands to the east of Erebor, but they were largely under the thrall of Sauron, and they had been long threatening the burgeoning kingdom under the mountain and their human allies in Dale. The appendices pick up the story. At the same time as the great armies besieged Minas Tirith, a host of the allies of Sauron that had long threatened the borders of King Brand crossed the river Carnan, and Brand was driven back to Dale. There he had the aid of the dwarves of Erebor, and there was a great battle at the mountain's feet. It lasted 3 days, but in the end both King Brand and King Dain Ironfoot were slain, and the Easterlings had the victory. But they could not take the gate, and many, both dwarves and men, took refuge in Erebor, and there withstood a siege. When news came of the great victories in the south, then Sauron's northern army was filled with dismay, and the besieged came forth and routed them, and the remnant fled into the east and troubled Dale no more. So this was an initial victory for Sauron's forces. The kings of men and dwarves were both killed, and the survivors were forced back into the Lonely Mountain to prepare for a siege. The besiegers were only vanquished when word came from the south of Sauron's demise. Not that we should diminish this victory in any way. Gandalf name-checks it a few times, noting the valour of the dwarves and how important it was that they managed to hold firm. Sauron might have done great evil in the north if King Dain and King Brand had not stood in his path. The thinking seems to have been that had Sauron been able to neutralise the dwarves and men in Dale and Erebor, he could have joined his army of Easterlings to his Dol Guldur army and sweep across the north. You can easily see how you could do a pincer attack on Thranduil's forces in northern Mirkwood from Dol Guldur and Erebor. But the dwarves and men held firm, despite heavy losses. Sure enough, while that battle was going on, Sauron's forces in Dol Guldur had regrouped after their initial losses in Lothlorien and Rohan, and once more attacked in two directions this time. The second assault on Lothlorien went pretty much how the first one had, not successfully. But the battle under the trees in Mirkwood was harder fought. Huge swathes of the forest were burned, and surely many elves were lost, but the elves of northern Mirkwood prevailed, and the orcs retreated once more to Dol Guldur. Incidentally, if you are thinking to yourself right now that Sauron's forces were taking a lot of defeats, and yet still seemed to be throwing themselves into battle against superior opposition, some of which they seemed to have little to no chance of defeating, the answer is yes, that's pretty much what was happening. But I think there's another layer here to Sauron's tactics that is often overlooked. Yes, he's trying to keep the elves and dwarves occupied so they can't help Gondor, and no, he doesn't really hold his troops' lives in much regard at all, so is happy to throw them into losing battles if it suits him. But even more to the point, Sauron was playing a long game. The number of elves in Middle-earth was finite and dwindling. Elves don't have many children, and through the Third Age they had been slowly emigrating west anyway. If he lost 1,000 orcs, he could replace them in a matter of a few years, but if they killed 100 elves, those elves would not be replaced. He could keep this going for decades if he wanted to. Remember, this is the guy who spent 3 centuries in disguise forging rings of power, just so he could sneak off and spend a few more decades forging another ring of power. Sauron was nothing if not patient. He didn't have to defeat the elves now, he could keep this going for centuries. But back to this war. Away to the south, the Battle of the Pelennor Fields had now been fought, and the assorted generals, kings, princes, and a wizard had decided to march on Mordor. We'll talk about that in the next video. Sauron's forces in Dol Guldur then launched a third and final assault on Lothlórien. Again, they failed. Although attacking 3 times does show how important Sauron thought it was, certainly more of a threat than Thranduil's elves. But then, on the 25th of March, came the end of the war in the south. Sauron and the Black Gate had fallen, the ring was destroyed, and with that, the power of Galadriel's ring also died. Still, the balance of power had shifted. Over in Dale, the Easterlings were routed by the dwarves and men, and Celeborn led a force of elves out of Lothlórien on the offensive, attacking Dol Guldur and moving northwards through Mirkwood, clearing out any evil they encountered. Thranduil led his forces south, and the 2 elven armies met halfway. Galadriel was involved too. We're told that she threw down Dol Guldur's walls and laid bare its pits, and the forest was cleansed. And that was that for the Northern Theatre. The orcs in Moria survived for a while longer, until Durin the Seventh retook it for Durin's folk. Mirkwood was no longer murky, so they renamed it the Wood of Green Leaves, with Thranduil retaining the northern part, Celeborn renaming the southern part East Lórien, and the middle bit went to the Beornings and the Woodmen. Though, of course, even that was a short-term thing in the grand scheme of things, with the elves largely sailing west. The war in the north is often overlooked in discussions about the War of the Ring. It shouldn't be. There was every bit as much valour and tragedy and death and heroism as there was elsewhere. Though, of course, all of these battles were just supporting acts in their own way to the real struggle which happened when they were raging. Frodo and Sam, slowly but purposefully, making their way to Mount Doom. My War of the Ring playlist is on the left of your screen now, or if you'd like to see more videos on other aspects of the world of J.R.R. Tolkien and the Lord of the Rings, please click on the link to the playlist in the centre of your screen. Thanks for watching. That's all for this time. I'll see you again soon.